Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
50 Cent, getting shot 9 times and surviving, turn him into a rap legend. But over 20 years later, the case still hasn't been officially solved. From rap beef getting violent to a crazy murder for hire conspiracy, there are all kinds of rumors about why someone tried to take him out. Today, we're breaking it all down and answering the question of why 50 Cent got hit up 9 times and almost died before his career even started. 50 came up in Queens and was surrounded by street activity from a young age. His mother was a dealer in the neighborhood, but she tragically died in a house fire when he was just 8 years old. 50 was taken in by his grandparents, but they couldn't keep him from going down the same path as his mom. He started selling crack at 12 years old and ended up getting busted with guns and drug money in his sophomore year of high school. By that point, he had both feet in the trenches, and in 94, he was booked for selling cocaine to an undercover cop. Less than a month later, he was arrested again after cops found more drugs and a gun in his house. And as some 50 knew, he had to switch up how he was moving. After serving 6 months in a boot camp and getting his GED, 50 started trying to break into the rap game. At first, he was just laying down tracks in his homie's basement. But then, he met Jam Master Jay from Run DMC, and everything changed. Jay taught 50 how to really make records, and in 99, he linked up with a production team called Trackmasters and signed a deal with Columbia Records. 50 recorded almost 40 songs in 2 weeks with them, and one of those tracks allegedly led to him getting shot and Jam Master Jay killed. 50 dropped the track Ghetto Quran and shouted out all kinds of drug dealers from Queens, including Canada's Supreme McGriff and his Supreme team. McGriff is one of the most famous drug lords in the city. Back in the 80s, he and the Supreme team were moving a crazy amount of weight, and McGriff allegedly had hundreds of dudes working for him in the streets. But like most massive drug rings, the whole thing came crashing down, and in 89, he was sentenced to 12 years in prison. He got out early in 94, then went back in for violating parole, and came back out in 97. By the time 50 released Ghetto Quran, McGriff was already a legend in the city, and 50 shouted out him and his nephew, Gerald Prince Miller, with the line, "Yo, when you hear talk of the South Side, you hear talk of the team. See, niggas feared Prince and respected Preem. For all you slow motherfuckers, I'ma break it down illa. See, Preem was the businessman and Prince was the killer. Remember, he used to push the bulletproof BM." Just a few months after the track dropped, 50 was caught by a shooter outside of his grandma's house and got shot 9 times. According to rumors, McGriff wasn't happy with 50 airing out his business on the track. Even the IRS linked 50's shooting to the song, but nobody was ever officially charged. Even though the case was never closed, everyone pretty much knows that a dude named Daryl Bomb, aka Hamo, was the one who tried to take 50 out. Hamo had ties to a lot of dudes and was even Mike Tyson's bodyguard at one point. And just 3 weeks after he allegedly shot 50, Hamo was found dead from gunshot wounds. 50 obviously thinks McGriff paid Hamo to kill him, and on the track Many Men, he said, "Now man, these putting money on my head. Go on and get your refund, motherfucker, I ain't dead." Then later in the track, he called Hamo out by name and said, "In the Bible it says, what goes around comes around. Hamo shot me, 3 weeks later, he got shot down. Now it's clear that I'm here for a real reason, cause he got hit like I got hit, but he ain't fucking breathing." Ghetto Quran is allegedly what sparked everything, but there's another reason why McGriff might have tried to kill 50. Back when McGriff got out of prison in 94, he wanted to get into cinematography and linked up with Irv Gotti from Murder, Inc. Records. And from that point on, Murder, Inc. and McGriff were always tight. In 99, Ja Rule was the label's biggest star, and 50 took shots at Ja and the whole label with the track Life's on the Line. Murder, Inc. affiliates were known for yelling, "It's murder." So 50 flipped it and implied they were all capping with the lines, "Scream murder, I don't believe you. Murder, fuck around and leave you. Murder, I don't believe you. Murder, murder, your life's on the line." Nobody really knows why Ja and 50's beef started. They both came up in the same neighborhood, but they've been at war for over 20 years at this point, and it doesn't seem like they'll ever squash it. According to 50, it all started because Ja got his chain snatched in the hood and later saw 50 laughing with the dude who took it. Ja admits that his chain was stolen from a dude they both knew.
"The guy with the gun won. You know what I'm saying? All right, right. Yeah. You got the gun? All right, yeah. Take that. Hold on to that, nigga. Okay. Not a problem. You know what I'm saying?"
But he says 50's side of the story is all cap. 50 and Ja ended up getting into a fight after they were booked on the same show in Atlanta. And then a few months later, a Murder, Inc. artist named Black Child stabbed 50 when their crews ran into each other at a studio. That all went down just a few months before 50 was shot 9 times. And some people believe his beef with Ja is the real reason he got hit up. But 50 wasn't the only dude who ended up getting hurt over the situation. After Ghetto Quran dropped, McGriff allegedly tried to blackball 50 from the industry and warned everyone not to work with him anymore. And when Jam Master Jay didn't listen, it allegedly cost him his life. On October 30th, 2002, Jay was in his recording studio in Queens when somebody walked in and shot him in the head. And a year later, McGriff, Irv Gotti, and his brother Christopher Gotti were all investigated by the feds over Jay's death. According to the investigation, McGriff had been using Murder, Inc. as a front to launder drug money for years, and the feds ended up raiding the label and arresting the Gotti brothers on laundering charges. They ended up getting found not guilty, but McGriff didn't get off as easily. In 2007, he was convicted of murder for hire after he paid $50,000 to have two of his ops taken out in 2001. And while he was never charged with Jay or 50 shootings, it's clear that McGriff had the ability to get people killed. While there's a lot of evidence pointing towards McGriff hiring Hamo to kill 50, it turns out that Jam Master Jay's situation might be more complicated. Jay was a legend in the game, but according to rumors, his financial situation had been on the decline for a long time, so he tried to get into the coke game. In 2020, two arrests were finally made in the case, and Ronald Washington and Carl Jordan Jr. were indicted for Jay's murder. According to the indictment, Jay bought 10 keys of cocaine from a dude in Maryland and planned on having Washington and Jordan help him move it. But something went down between the three of them, and Jay allegedly cut him out, and that's why they killed him in his own studio. The trial set to start in November, 21 years after Jay's tragic death. Right now, it looks like a drug deal gone wrong, but if McGriff and 50 are connected to it at all, we'll know soon. Most people believe McGriff is the dude who wanted to have 50 killed, but there's a wild conspiracy theory that says Mike Tyson is actually the one behind the hit. There's no evidence to back it up, but some people think Tyson sent Hamo after 50, then Hamo was killed after he didn't finish the job. 50 ended up buying Tyson's 52-room mansion later on, and the theory says that the mansion was actually Tyson's way of paying 50 back for trying to have him killed. It's a wild theory, but in reality, the dude who's responsible for Hamo's death is actually Damian World Hardy. Hardy was another kingpin in the city who ran a brutal drug ring called Cash Money Brothers with his brother Myron. In 2015, he was sentenced to life in prison for ordering the deaths of 6 dudes, including Hamo and his brother Tyrone. According to reports, Hamo and his brother were both linked to a dude named Ivory Davis, who was one of Hardy's rivals in the drug game. Davis' nephew allegedly killed Hardy's brother Myron, and after that, Hardy went crazy, taking out everyone who was affiliated with him. It was a tragic and crazy situation that ended with a lot of death, but it doesn't seem like Hamo shooting 50 had anything to do with the war between Davis and Hardy. At the end of the day, everyone involved has street connections, and violence is always a possibility when your feet are in the trenches. Luckily, 50 made it out alive and went on to become one of the highest-selling rappers of all time and used the crazy experiences he went through to make certified classics in the booth. We'll probably never have a concrete answer about everything that led to him being shot, but what we do know is that surviving the streets of Queens back then was basically a miracle. 50 isn't topping the charts like in the 2000s, but his come up in career have already made him a certified living legend.